Hi, Hillary.
Oh, hello.
Are you ready for this podcast?
I'm always ready for the podcast.
Do you think we sound too much the same all the time? Like, I'm kind of grumpy and you're kind of happy and it's just like the way it is?
You know, I think it is the way it is, but I think if all of a sudden we switched and I came on all like melancholy and you were excited, people probably may consider like conserving us because something went really wrong that day. That's true.
I'm happy being Eeyore. Are you ready for this podcast?
We are. We have a very cool guest tonight, a world traveler, and bringing some incredible wine for us to share.
Right from the Rutherford Dust.
Woo! Stay tuned.
Here we go.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Hillary.
Are you excited for tonight?
Always excited.
So this is going to be our April episode, which means Easter.
Okay. What are you doing for Easter this year, Hill?
You know, I don't have plans yet.
I'm sure Walrus has his
bunny costume
and ears in the mail.
Totally. But we have a very special guest with us tonight.
So I've heard she's a neighbor of ours, well, mine anyway, in Rutherford. She works for a really well-known wine brand, and she does global sales.
Yes. She used to be trade relations manager. She comes all the way from Wisconsin, and she's starting a sparkling English varietal
winery.
Like, what is that right word? In very England.
Cool. Well, welcome, Amber.
Hello.
We got to also preface this by saying how impressed we are with Amber. She just got came back from Jackson on a wine trip. Got in this morning at 1 in the morning and then went right into a tasting with like 16 people for Premier Weekend.
Went to the dentist.
And she got a dentist trip in. It's impressive.
That's very impressive.
Thanks for coming. Welcome. And she also brought some amazing wine. So should we start with what wine we're drinking?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I work for the Staglin family in Rutherford. So we're on the Rutherford Bench on the west side. We're family owned and operated, which I think is a really fun, exciting thing to be able to say, as many wineries, as you know, are selling because they don't have the next gen. But we have next gen, and we're having our flagship one, which is our Cabernet Sauvignon. It does have a little Cabernet Franc and Petit Verdot blended in it. We have half bottles of the 14 and the 16, so we're going to be able to try two epic vintages out of Napa Valley. And we do a lot of the right things in Rutherford, which is we organically farm the property itself. We're 100% solar run. Our wines are meant to age. Our wines are known for having great acidity and balance. And we rock it out. So
that's awesome.
Cool. How many times have you given that spiel before?
She's done this before.
Yes.
Often.
Just a few times.
Often, yes.
And we are also doing the 2023 September logs, as well as 2014, in honor of the year that you moved here to the Valley.
And one of the wines we're drinking today.
Yeah. Ooh, double that.
Well, sweet. Serendipitous.
There we go.
Perfect.
Okay.
Does anyone have a fun log to kick us off for the evening?
Yes, I do. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Two men armed with a handgun robbed a jewelry store in the 1300 block of Main Street. Police found their car abandoned on Pine Street. Local schools and the library were on lockdown while the police searched unsuccessfully for the men. While responding to the scene, the police chief was involved in a two-car accident at Main and Adams that knocked down a traffic signal, but there was no one injured.
Do you think the police chief in the moment maybe just had like a spaz moment and just like hit the gas instead of the brake?
I wasn't here for that, but I heard stories about it and it sounded like a Keystone Cops.
Is that why they are no longer our...
I don't think she's still employed as the police chief anymore, but I don't think that was the
triggering
key
factor.
Moment that did it. I just think that...
I wonder who had to pay for that.
Oh, the police station?
Hopefully insurance.
Which would be us, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Because if the city paid for it, it's still us. We paid for it.
But could you imagine just like the confusion and the cops running here and the robbers running here and a cop hits the pole and anyway, it's just, I think the power or the stoplight crashed down on the road. It's a pretty big deal.
So Public Works was also called.
I'm sure.
Detour Central.
One time.
I have a report of a skunk that wandered into someone's kitchen on Main Street. The animal wasn't aggressive or responsive to loud noises, so it may have been sick.
Oh, rabid skunk.
Yeah.
But did they get sprayed, anybody?
It doesn't, you know, there's no follow-up.
Interesting.
It's just, it now lives happily in that
house. It's one of the things with the police log, you always have to be prepared to be let down.
Yes.
Much like being friends with me. because you never quite know what happened. What was the final story? You never know.
I mean, can I go a bit before you here? Because this kind of, I think, maybe is a collaborative of what you just said. Report of an unconscious man foaming at the mouth in a running vehicle near Hunton Church. Medical aid was on the way. It turned out the man had just been taking a nap.
He's a drooler.
Was bubbling?
Bubbly foam.
Not rabies.
Bet you that guy doesn't have a lot of friends.
He's sitting in the car alone. Probably his friends are wine tasting.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's get into this. I'm going to try. So we have the 14 on the left.
14 16. On the left, 16 on the right. So just open them. I always believe that you should open up wine as you're going to drink it normally. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people like to decant and all those things, but that is never what I do.
Cool.
We don't fine our filter of the wine, so you might have a little crunchy morsel in there because I didn't decant them. So the wines, 14. I always say it's like Lady Gaga, all rich and curvy, but when she opens up her mouth, it's precision. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that wine really has that. A lot of aromatics and just a voluptuous but yet really restrained wine.
Yeah, cool. Totally beautiful. Yeah, it's I mean, perfumey, very smooth, like absolutely stellar. That's cool. And very like Rutherford in nature too.
So, and 10 years old at this point, right? Yep. So we're not talking about something that's young, but still tastes quite young, to be honest.
Absolutely. I don't think I'm ready for 2014 to be 10 years ago. Yep. I feel like that was just like 3 years ago.
Yes.
So, like, when you're on the road showing wine, then, how do you roll in, pop the cork when you get there, give a little bit air, and then go right into the tasting? Do you, like, what's your flow?
That I do. I open, I mean, it depends where I'm at, because sometimes if you're working with a distributor, they've already opened the wines in the morning or things like that. But normally, you definitely find a change as your 10 o'clock tasting to your 5 o'clock tasting, right? But I like to taste them fresh and open. Right away, personally.
Cool. Well, they're made really well, and they don't, they're not angular at all, so that works. And it's beautiful right out of the gate, which is, I think, what most people want when they don't have to sit on a decant for 6 or 12 hours, right?
And I think that showcases that well. I mean, because I think a lot of wineries, you do have to give it a little bit of time to age, but you can open up ours right away and not have the... We have a nice balance between oak and fruit tannin.
Yes.
So a lot of times I think oak tannin overtakes the wine and it tears off your teeth, right? Makes your teeth water. But for us, we have that. You open it up. It's smooth and easy and lovely right away. Fresh. A lot of times people say fresh for Cabernet, which is not a normal word that you would use for Cabernet.
I like it. Yeah, and even that, like you said, at 10 years, it was very, very fresh and youthful.
So I definitely want to hear about your job now. And then also I definitely want to take it back and kind of learn your journey to get here. Because if I remember right, you're kind of self-made, self-taught.
Yeah. Yes. I would say that. Yes. I grew up in the restaurant business. So I was like washing dishes at 6 with my best friend, at my best friend's parents' supper club in Wisconsin.
Nice.
And getting paid in French fries, right? That's always my line because it's true.
That's Hillary's favorite form of payment.
Yes, champagne and French fries.
Champagne and French fries, exactly.
I'm always happy for that myself, actually. And then really worked in the restaurant business for a lot of my life. Honestly, up until I was in my early 20s, I had been working, for a country club for a couple of years, private club. And that's when I learned about wine. And I was never the gal that liked to drink beer in high school. I always drank wine or wine coolers first, Bartles and James, which is like, you guys probably don't even know what that is. But we had Bartles and James wine coolers, Berry and Margarita and Golden Sunrise, which is more of like kind of a malt beverage of sorts, which are now coming back. But then I went right into Cabernet. Like I was drinking Fetzer Cabernet and I was like 18 years old. Yeah. And then at the country club started tasting really good things. And at 21, I went to our local distributor in Wisconsin and just said, like, you don't have anyone that's focusing on wine and wine's becoming more popular. Will you hire me? And I hadn't gone to college. You know, I hadn't done all these things and they required a college degree. So I was the first person that they had hired without a college degree. And they finally said yes after I annoyed them for months. And sold wine and I came in at a really good time in the business where wine became popular quickly in restaurants. It went from having like tap wine or, which now tap wine's again popular, but it was not 20, it was like White Zinfandel and Chablis from Gallo that they now can't, you know, even any longer say that word. But It ended up changing, and I did very well. And then Napa Valley Vintners actually called me and said, you know, we'd love to move you out here and come work for us. So nice. I did.
How did you make that connection? How did you go from distributing to vintners? That's a big jump.
It is a big. So I was sales, and then I became like, I was taking care of all restaurants, like for other sales reps as well. And I would come out to Napa Valley all the time because who would not want to, right? So I would go out to Washington, Oregon, but Napa was really, our book was a lot of Napa Valley brands. So we had Bueller and Schaefer and, you know, all these great wines. So I would come out, and I started to get to know a lot of people, and that's how that really happened. You know, they, people are like, oh, I know her. Yeah, she's great. You should, oh my gosh. And I think they were looking for somebody out of Napa, like that wasn't living in Napa, to bring a little bit of a different view of the Napa Valley. Because when you grow up here and live here, it's a very different
yes,
than when, you know, you grow up on a farm like me in Wisconsin, right? Wisconsin farm is different than Napa Valley farm.
100%.
And then also during that time, I went through the Court of Master Sommeliers, and that was, I mean, that was 15, 16 years ago, so it was up before it was kind of cool to become a somm. Like, I didn't really have any mentors or anyone to teach me. I did it on a YouTube video, so went through and did that, and then then was here for about 3.5 years with the Napa Valley Vintners, and then went over to Staglin. So
cool.
Yeah, it's good.
And now you travel how many days a year?
A lot, like a lot. I always traveled a lot. Now I travel a lot. So it's between 120 and, no, it's really between like 150 and 220 a year. Last year I was in, so it's, it was the last year in 2023, I did 30 states, 21 countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what are your favorite places to go to?
Country wise,
So you're doing the globe. I mean, global sales. So
yeah. So Japan by far is just epically perfect and beautiful. So last year I did my top three in Asia. It was Thailand, South Korea, and Japan. It was like lovely. Yeah. So it was really great. And then we sell our wine in France. You know, I mean, so in Beaune you can buy Staglin Family Vineyard in Burgundy. Like, how cool is that?
That's wild. Yeah.
In Champagne, you can do the same.
There's not a lot of wineries that can.
No.
They'll do that.
Yeah, so, very much so. Yeah. And then, you know, we opened up in Ireland last year, which, you know, you think to yourself, like, is it random? But it was just a really great opening. You know, it was really neat to be there.
Nice.
We're kicking off in Sweden actually next month, so
cool.
That's exciting. But then places like, I met my partner in Mexico at a Staglin wine dinner. So, I think it's great. And then state-wise, like Jackson Hole just came off that trip, but I would have told you that before the trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of the most epic places in the country. Spring, summer, fall, or winter, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love the Midwest. And I know a lot of people don't go to the Midwest, but I think it's like a huge hidden gem that no one ever visits. So when I go there, I love Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Wisconsin is always great as well. But I don't really dislike any place. You know, I'm very happy to pretty much go anywhere.
To show up.
Yeah. Awesome. And do you guys focus mostly on on-premise, off-prem? What are your,
So, like, 70% restaurant focus, 30% retail. You know, we don't make a lot of cases. We make between 6,000 and 7,000 cases, so we're very tiny. And we have a really, you know, healthy wine club, which is great.
Yeah.
So I go out and really put the wine in the right spots. So we have a little bit of wine in a lot of places, essentially.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Do you do wine dinners and stuff too, like with big customers if they're...
So I don't do a lot of wine club member dinners. Actually, our hospitality director has started to do those recently. So I do a lot of wine dinners, like private clubs or restaurants, things like that. I probably did last year about 150 wine dinners.
It's a lot.
But I always say, like, you have to eat, right? So why not eat with people that love wine?
Yeah.
So I really, really like to do wine dinners. A lot of people don't, but if I'm going to be on the road, I love them. Yeah, yeah. I love to do them. I think it's great because there's people that you already know that love wine, right? So, and as much as I do love sitting by myself and having dinner somewhere as well, I do that enough still where the wine dinners for me are cool. And we also have a really, with the Staglin family, we have a really great philanthropic kind of addedness to our winery. So we give about almost a third of the production 100% to charity for brain and mental health research. So we're up to about almost $600 million we've raised since 89.
That's incredible. So
it is incredible.
And I mean, some could argue that's like the top need in this country.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And very few wineries give that much mm-hmm. to charity. Mm-hmm. You know, someone will say like, oh, they give 1% to the Audubon. I'm like, 1% is better than 0%. So mm-hmm. I think no matter what you do, if you give money to a charity and you're wherever you are in your life, but as a winery owner, it's really amazing. And the Staglins really give a lot. Cool. So it's really awesome to work for people that care about mental and brain health.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice. I like it. Yeah, and then they have the big event they do with music. Refresh my memory on the name.
Yeah, so the Staglin Music Festival. We're pretty original in that one. but it's pretty epic. It's always the first Saturday of the month in September. So it's winemakers hate us because, you know, it's not really the best time of year to do it. But it's a great time of year weather-wise as well. This is our 30th anniversary coming up. We actually don't have the... we have not announced to the person that's going to be singing or, you know, playing in the vineyard. But we have a seminar first about brain health, featuring something different every year. And then we have it's about 75 wineries that come from around the Napa Valley and other areas as well. And they pour their wine freely. So anyone from Chapelet to Screaming Eagle to Harlan come and just pour.
Nice.
And then we have a concert in the vineyard. So we've had throughout the years Sheryl Crow, Jennifer Hudson, Lyle Lovett, Martina McBride, Clint Black, so many different great names. And then we have a beautiful 3-5-course dinner outside at the Staglin's residence, outside underneath the stars. Last year was the Blackberry Farm Chef. We've had many, many, you know, Christopher Castell, obviously with Meadowood, many, many great chefs throughout the years.
Cool. Mm-hmm. What a good deal. Mm-hmm. You found a good home.
Found a good home. Yes.
Nice. And Charity Garrett.
Well, I have a stranger that also found a good home.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh. An Alexander Court resident said a stranger was sleeping on their front couch.
Oof.
Their front patio couch at 10 a.m.
Ooh. Well, I bet you that this is the next thing that happened then. Police responded to that Hunt Avenue for a report of a woman punching someone in the face.
Oh.
So it could have been.
They woke up and chose violence. Wow. This is actually quite scandalous for St. Helena. Ooh. Report of a woman smoking meth and giving two little baggies to someone behind the library.
Behind the library?
Hopefully it wasn't on the visitor, not the other side of the
very
library.
Very naive of me to say, but I don't think I could identify that meth is what they were exactly smoking.
Huh, yeah, how do you, I mean, is it the smell?
That's what I mean, I can't say I've been exposed to...
Right.
Never done it, no.
You know, I know
it was meth.
How did this caller understand that it was meth?
I don't know.
Wow.
I guess the meth...
Again... You're let down.
It could be the pipe. I've watched a lot of crime shows to know what that looks like.
Perfect.
Here's a good one. A woman, her partner, and four friends went to a local bar on Saturday night. Local bar. The woman said the bouncer was inebriated, and he thought her friends were under 21. Mm. She said the manager or owner told her that's what she should expect to deal with if she wanted to be there. Okay. The bouncer was yelling at them to leave, so they left. The woman said she was scared for her safety, and it almost got violent. Mm. Anyone care to take a guess on what time of day this happened?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You know, most would guess evening.
Right?
But.
Tell us.
2:30 in the afternoon.
Well, of course, yes.
Anyway, I think that is probably a little bit clouded by
alcohol. The local bar had a bouncer at 2:30 in the afternoon.
I didn't know
we had bouncers.
Oh, late at night, there's definitely a bouncer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely is a bouncer.
I don't obviously go out at night here in St. Helena.
Well, some night I think you should swing on by and have your first-hand experience of getting carded, even if they've known you since high school.
Oh, Charlie.
Well, there was a report on September 4th of some raw sewage going into the street at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely.
Mm. I wonder if it came from the uncle in... Chevy Chase's Christmas. The shitter was full.
Yeah. This is my favorite one, I think, of the entire log.
Okay.
A caller said someone harvested 700 to 800 pounds of his grapes on Pratt Avenue. It turned out to be a misunderstanding and not theft.
That's good. Well, you're lucky.
I mean, could you imagine if you showed up to your vineyard and they were all picked?
That, I mean,
yeah,
be a lot of money.
Yeah.
800 pounds is a lot of money. So yeah. I'm glad that it was a misunderstanding and hopefully you got some
wine.
But
maybe not giving people the idea, but maybe that's the new flash mob crime. You know how people go into the Apple store and steal a bunch of iPhones? Uh-huh. They're going to come in with a crew and just pick
everything and run.
Or hold them hostage.
Well, if you look at it like this, if Tokalon grapes sell for $50,000 a ton, we can all do math. That's $25 a pound, right?
Yep.
Did you know that off the top of your head?
I'd done that before.
Okay, I was going to say.
So $25 a pound.
So let's do the math.
For Tokalon. And we've already done it. That's like cooked T-bone steaks hanging on the vines.
That's $17,500 on the low end.
All for this guy.
For this guy.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway.
What does a Pratt Avenue grape go
at
for?
At that point, I don't know. Not
it's a Sandina grape, so.
But.
So maybe $10 less? $8 less?
Either way.
I have no frame of reference.
Well, I mean, you were saying Backstopper, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, things, they'll be much less, I think.
Okay, let's say 15.
It would be a lot less.
Eight. Yeah. We'll say eight.
Sure, yeah, sure.
So that's still $5,600.
It could be a lot. If you get you above the $950 threshold, it'll become a felony. So.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah,
well, I do have good news. Police did pick up a dog. Excuse me. Police picked up a cute, small brown. Excuse me. I got to say this all again. Police picked up a cute, small, brown, long-haired dog that they found on Pinot Way.
Oh.
The descriptor.
Was it returned to its owner?
Didn't say. Making us wait on that one.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's go on to the 16.
Oh, yes, 16.
While we're
talking about cute things.
Cute, small dogs.
So, I have to admit, like, I get to taste the Staglin wines often,
mm-hmm.
In older vintages often, and if I were to pick something from 2010 to current vintage, I would pick 16. That's
cool.
Just my own personal. Everyone has their own different flavors and tastes and all those things. But I like savory and I like really bright fruit.
Yeah.
So like in the front, but savory at the end. And I think this has that personally. The 14 has a little bit more kind of curviness to it, but the 16 is, I think they're both tasting great.
Nice. And 16, I think, was that the end of a drought year? Or
yeah, 15 was the end of the drought.
So this definitely has some good concentration to it.
I like this 16.
Really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do too.
I like the 14 as well, but I like the 16 better.
Yeah.
Man, drinking beautifully.
Yes.
Cool.
And as the night progresses, you guys will enjoy, hopefully, again, as we go.
Do you have a preference?
I'm a 14 guy. Yeah, I think 14's got more nuance and more interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, more men like 14 and more women like 16.
There you go.
Interesting.
So, yes.
That must be some brain chemistry taste bud.
Yeah, I think so. I think women are just better tasters.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
In general. But
all things in life.
I won't argue with that.
I do want to also hear about your England project.
Yes.
We joked before.
You mean my partner or the vineyard?
Both.
Because they're both projects.
I
say that with love.
She's living my dream. You're growing sparkling wine. You're living in the UK. If anyone that knows me well knows, the second they make my license doable in there, I'm moving.
There you go.
Until then, though.
Yes, so I mentioned earlier, actually, I guess this week it's four years. About a week before COVID happened, it was leap year day, which actually it's coming up leap year a couple days from now. I was doing a wine dinner at one of the Auberge properties down in Cabo, Esperanza, and this very tall, handsome British fellow walked down and sat at a table. And I was very, very busy and couldn't care less because obviously I was waiting for his wife to walk down too. Because that's what happens
at
that beautiful, lovely thing. Yeah. But honestly, I didn't even think about it. I was in work mode. And by the end of the night, he was by himself. And I think he was quite embarrassed because normally at a wine dinner, you have this big, beautiful table, long table, and everyone kind of shares and collaborates. And not there. It's a very romantic place. Everyone's a couple, so everybody has their own table. So here he was, this 6'5", large man, sitting at this tiny table by himself on the beach at sunset. And he was like deer in headlights. So, of course, I was like just chatted with him and talked to him and, you know, made sure he had tons of wine so he could get intoxicated quickly.
Like, do you want to bring you something to read?
Yeah.
Are you bored?
Yes. But anyway, long story short, that was that. It was great. We met we were talking about the next day. We got together and I showed him around the island. He had never been there before. And we were talking or hearing about this thing in China, like this, you know, and we were like, that's so odd. And then Sunday, we actually did hang out together. We were both leaving, so I drove him to the airport. He was going to Seattle. Mm-hmm. I was going to Napa or San Francisco. And I get this email saying that Provine, which I speak at every year, was
Germany.
In Germany was canceled. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I had like a almost 4-week trip planned. And so all of a sudden, you know, like through the next 24 hours, my entire trip was canceled and I was supposed to leave in about a week, not even like 4 days.
Yeah.
So, and he texted me and he sent me a picture of the Space Needle and he said, he works for Amazon. And he said, I was just told I have to go home. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, how odd. Like, and I didn't think that we were actually going to chatter after that, but then we both, you know, had just had this like weekend. It was amazing. And so we were chattering and I said, what are you doing this weekend? And he's like, well, nothing now. I'm like, well, I'm not either. I have like the next month where I have nothing going on. And we didn't think obviously this COVID was going to last as long as it did. So I said, well, why don't I come up and we'll go to Walla Walla? I had never been there before. Neither had he. So I went up and on a whim and, you know, stayed for like 4 or 5 days. And then on that Tuesday is when everything essentially shut down. So I came back home and we kind of had this hidden love affair throughout the next couple of months where I illegally drove every other week from Napa to Seattle. Like there wasn't even like another car in the road beside Amazon trucks. And I did it and it was crazy. Honestly, no one, like I had two friends that knew about it because it was pretty controversial. Like a lot of people were very... You know, had this, and but
so many
I did
were
it.
So scared and they
scared
just...
and yes, I mean there wasn't even any rest stops open because you know you think about germs. So I would leave Napa Valley, I would drive nonstop to Oregon, and then in Oregon you can't pump your own gas.
Some guy would come out and I
wouldn't even have to like see that person. If I had to go to the bathroom, I'd like pull over on the side of the road.
That's what I was going to say. Tinky in a bush.
Yeah, exactly. That's the good old Wisconsin coming out in me there. and then I would drive completely all the way to Seattle. So that would normally take like 14 or 15 hours, but because there's no traffic or anything, it would be like 11 hours. So I'd leave at 5 in the morning and I'd be there by dinner.
That's not bad at all.
It was easy. So, and then he one day got this thing in the mail saying essentially he had to go back to the UK because there was an issue with his visa.
No way.
It was a... Politically, it doesn't matter. It was a thing that he had to leave.
Yeah.
And the federal government was essentially shut down at that point. So they said, like, we can't deal with this. Like, why don't you just go? We'll figure it out when you get back and you can come back. Well, that didn't happen. So in the meantime, my passport was being held at a South Carolina office, so I couldn't leave. Then we had our international border control lockdown, so he couldn't come back at all.
No.
So I started going out there in October, and we thought COVID wouldn't last that long. And then by the next March, we bought this 7-acre property in the Cotswolds. We had gone every month. We rented a new place on Airbnb because many people couldn't return to their homes or they were stuck. And so people were essentially allowing us to get their $50,000 a month stay for $1,000 or something because people just wanted someone to go in and check on their Airbnb. And you couldn't actually, if you were a citizen and had a home, you couldn't go out on Airbnb because that would mean that you're on holiday or vacation. Uh-huh. But because he didn't have an address, he could, and he was like trying to move, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me. So anyway, we went to all these little places all around the UK and ended up finding this place randomly, and we bought it. And within 8 months, we planted a vineyard. And now we are 3 years in, and we'll take a crop next year where we have we planted Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Meunier, and some SB. So we'll make sparkling wine, a couple different sparkling wines, and then a Sauvignon Blanc still.
Cool.
Like I said, let me know when you're ready for me to come intern. Those are my two favorites. And you have an adorable dog.
We have, yes, Midas. We have a Rhodesian Ridgeback, Midas, who's great. And I think we're adding another one to the family this year.
Well, Wallace and I will come.
Yes, we love it. It'd be great. So anyway, that's an exciting little thing. Obviously, the UK is known for English sparkling. That's kind of their hot thing right now because of global warming and all these things. But it is not Napa Valley. So I have to say I was fairly naive when it came down to... I knew it was going to be hard. It's probably a little harder than what I thought. And the other really big thing that I was naive on is there's no secondary market there. So like here in Napa Valley, if like you need to buy some old barrels, if you need to buy a weed or you need to borrow something, like we don't have anyone near us, you know? So everything has to be new. And then when obviously Brexit hit in 2020 to 21, so everything that you get is from France or Italy, and
really
there's now it's hugely taxed and hard to get in. So we've had a struggle or just maybe some like learning experiences that we didn't think of, but it's all in all it's really rewarding. Like I walk outside and I'm like, here I am, like this is ours, you know. So it's been a lot of mostly positives. There's some like learning curve to it for sure.
And like where do you crush? Like is there's no custom crush places.
There is about an hour, a little bit of. Wow. If you think about it, it would almost be like taking it from Calistoga down to Vallejo.
Yeah.
It's not really not that. Too bad. Like an hour is not that long mm-hmm. when it comes down to that. I mean, and we are making sparkling wine, so those grapes are pretty, mm-hmm. they're not all the way ripe, as you'd mm-hmm. say, and things like that. So. The industry is definitely getting bigger. There's over 500 wineries there now. They're farther away. They're not by us, right? Yeah. We're in the Cotswolds, so we're west of London, and most of them are southeast or south yep. of London. So,
nice.
Yeah.
And then the viticulture, is he doing all that right now there, or do you have someone?
No, so him and I do it together.
No way.
And mostly, and we're building a barn. So I actually do, I mean, he does a lot, believe me, he does a lot. But I would say I do most of the actual vineyard work.
No way. Cool.
So I just did 21 tons of compost 2 weekends ago by myself. I mean, he sat in the tractor and helped, like, scooped it up, and then I put it all up on the, I did most of the pruning this year. But he does a lot of the, he does, like, all of the things we buy. He does so much research on, mm-hmm. you know, he's building the barn. He is like the master YouTube video guy who, like, the entire property is Wi-Fi on our 7 acres. Nice. So you could go anywhere. I mean, he's brilliant. So I would say I do more of the heavy lifting when it comes to the vineyard work. And, but mm-hmm. he is 6'5", so it's hard for him to bend down and, you know, prune and all these things. So I enjoy it. It actually mm-hmm. is kind of my peace out, relaxed.
Nice. Like, well, that was my next question. How are the grapes situated? Are they mm-hmm. like cane pruned? Are they cordoned? Are they low, high? What?
Yeah. So I mean, they're really similar to what we do here. We mm-hmm. So at this point, we've actually had to, this last year, it was a tough year. We had to prune down all the way and tube out again.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't take anything yeah. until next year. But it's really good for the root system, so that's yep. good. But we'll finish trellising by the end of March. That was probably been our hardest thing because we're in Cotswold stone, which is rock, mm-hmm. but essentially limestone, which is great, but difficult. These are the things that you start doing and you're like, why didn't we pay someone to do this?
Yeah, I bet.
What were we thinking?
Right.
But they, I mean, it's very similar to how things are here for mm-hmm. sure.
Nice. And what are some of the characteristics you might find different in, like, Cotswold versus a French sparkling champagne or
yeah
sparkling.
I mean, so one of the awesome two different things. First of all, sparkling wine, English sparkling, through blind taste tests, just kind of like we had the Paris tasting here, right? Mm-hmm. in Chateau Montelena got this, and some others, they just had a recent tasting about three years ago, and a blind tasting, and English sparkling won. So mm-hmm. that was when it cool. things started getting on the map, right? And then SB, we planted SB, and there's a winery that's actually fairly near us, about mm-hmm. maybe 45 minutes. And they threw in a decanter, English SB mm-hmm. still.
Nice.
With, like, you know, from stuff from Loire and Napa, many, many different Bordeaux, white Bordeaux. And they won blind.
Cool.
The one by us. And we were like, oh my God, this is a sign. Nice. We were just, like, so completely thrilled about it. I think it's a lot of people, when they taste them, are like, oh God, it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just expensive. When you compare, because you can buy some really amazing grower champagnes for mm-hmm. pretty inexpensive, but the English sparklings are, you know, between 30 and 80 pounds a bottle, so I think people's expectations are they're going to be less expensive,
right.
mm-hmm.
because they're new and all those things, but it's because of not having a market there, like, everything is so expensive,
yeah.
so La Land might not be as expensive, but everything else around it is, so.
Sure. And then, have you figured out a label, a name, or is that still TBD?
Yeah, I think we're going to name it Fossbridge Vineyard.
Nice.
So I feel like it's where we're from, right there, mm-hmm. right? It's actually mm-hmm. the name of our house. So instead of, like, your, like, I don't know, your address is like 421 something something.
They like actually Hunt Avenue
they
store.
Name it. Yeah, they name it.
That's good. It's very UK.
So it's the house. We're a Fossbridge house, and
got
then it has, like, the name, and there's no, like,
address.
Yeah, it's not like an address, it's a house name, so everything's named by a home. So that's our name of our house. So we either think it's going to be Fossbridge or Fossbridge Vineyard or Fossbridge House or something like that.
Cool.
So I think that's what we think.
Very cool.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know how to sell it. The easiest part is making it, right? And that's what they all say, and the hardest part is selling it. But for you...
Well, for us, it's
the making opposite. The vineyard. And
yes. Yeah. I mean, if I already know if I had some right now. I keep saying...
You'd crush it.
Yes, literally, mm-hmm. we'd be able to have...
So, I mean, just think about it. Like, all of your, like, contacts and people you run into, I mean, that's like...
We'll have you back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then you can get the 911 phone.
Yes. As long as it tastes good, I think we'll be good. And, you know, a lot of times at Staglin dinners, like, we'll use, you know, Shrimsbury, mm-hmm. you know, Hughes wine, or we'll use a French champagne to start off, you know, and now it'll be nice. Use. Yeah, yeah. So it'll be exciting for sure.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And quite a lot of time on the road. I mean, just between going there to go home, working here. Best. I mean,
and I still come home here. I have a home here in Oak Knoll, and then we have the house in the Cotswolds as well. Nice. So we really live in the two kind of most beautiful areas, really, in the world. And it's good. It's a long commute. It's a lot. I have to say I love Napa Valley. My first trip here when I was 21, I knew I wanted to live here. It was like a dream to be able to live here. And I'm not selling my house. Like the last two winters have been difficult there. You know, it's gray. It's rainy. It's, you know, there's no sun.
And having the option to keep both, mm-hmm. is the best, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Like, why yes. would you give that up when you literally could summer in one place and go to the other?
Yes. Yes. I'm not giving it up. So what do you think? You liked 14.
14.
You liked 16.
I like 16.
Good.
Both great. Both mm-hmm. great. So what, and on that, like you said, the oak is super well integrated. Mm-hmm. You don't even really taste it in there. It's just well built. But what kind of oak profile are you guys using with these?
Yeah, so we age between 20 and 24 months, right?
Cool.
We pull blocks and then we'll ferment them and then blend later mm-hmm. together. And we actually have the original Bouillieu Vineyard, Georgia Latour Vineyard planted on our property in 65 by Chelichev. So we have, you know, some of those kind of cuttings and things. So the wines are, the grapes itself are not only well taken care of, mm-hmm. but they're really historic and beautiful. So anyway, 20, 24 months. And then we have some larger barrels that sometimes you'll see as well, so better oak integration.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. We don't use 100% new oak. We're less than that.
Nice.
So it's, like I said, oak tannin and fruit tannin. We like to really balance out.
You want to be able to see the site through it. And like you said, that site has a lot of history too. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you could go with me on a trip for history real quick, but that used to be BV. It was a number. I forget which. Do you remember which number it was? Because each vineyard was like BV1 is the Sullivan Ranch. BV2 is by Mondavi. BV3 was George Latour now, or George III from Beckstoffer. And it used to be one. It's like five or six. Anyway, I don't know.
I should know, and I probably do know, but I'd have to, in the morning, I can give you
cool.
the answer.
No, that's really fascinating. But that was, they bought that from the Sullivans, I believe, in the 60s? No.
Stechters,
that's right.
Stechters.
So the Stechters had bought it from, I guess, Sullivan's, and then they bought it from the Stechters. Okay. They've been making wine since when?
The Sullivans bought it from the Stechters. Then the Staglins bought it from the Sullivans.
That's what I meant
to
say.
No, you're right. Yes.
Cool.
So in 1864 is when the first vineyard was planted on that property.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah, and the Stechter house is where we host all of our tastings, and mm-hmm. that was the original house that Mary Stechter lived in and raised, like, I think, like, I don't know if it's 10 or 12 children.
An aggressive amount. Mm-hmm.
Yes, aggressive amount. And, so very historic place. We've had, you know, really legendary winemakers come through the door, Kathy Corrison, Celia Welch, Andy Erickson, and now Frederick Johansson and Matt Peterson. So, you know, very excellent people making pretty delicious wine.
Nice. And then how much do you get to integrate them as like the production team into what you're doing for sales? Like, do they ever bring any of them out, or do they come up tastings?
They all go on the road. That was one of my thing a couple of years ago. And most salespeople, right, would go with, like, hey, Frederick, you're going to go on the road. And you're going to come with. But, like, I divide and conquer. I'm like, I don't need to babysit you.
Yeah.
You go out on the road and have fun. And, you know, I'm going to set you up. You're going to be involved in, like, you'll get the itinerary, you know. I'll totally set you up, and you're going to work super hard. You're going to work how I would, which sometimes no one wants to do that. You're going to do five dinners in a row, right, every night, plus work the market every day. So Frederick went out once last year. Matt went out twice. Mm-hmm. Matt's going out to DC next month. I think Frederick is coming with me to kick off in Sweden because he's Swedish, which is great.
Cool.
He can see some family. And he's also going to do Chicago in May. And then we have a California sales manager. So she's actually West Coast. But I don't sell in California. I just kind of help Hollis, or, you know, support Hollis. Mm-hmm. And she's fabulous. And she's had Shannon Staglin out in Healdsburg and in San Francisco. And she had Sherry and Garen in, down in Southern California twice now and do wine dinners. Frederick has gone with her down there. So we really try to incorporate that a lot. And then we have Jaime, who's our hospitality director, which everybody in the world knows he's the best. He goes out and does some wine club dinners at people's homes, and then I get him to do a dinner at a club or something like that as well. Yeah. And we're a tiny team. We have like 10 or 11.
Yeah, so how many sales people?
Oh, sales people, it's just me. Yeah. And then Hollis, and we hired Hollis like two and a half years ago. We're direct in California now, so it's awesome. The wine comes essentially from the winery, so I don't come home and feel like I have to work. You know what I mean? Like as far as like go out and sell wine.
Yeah.
And she's out of San Francisco and fabulous. And then we gave her Oregon and Washington in the last year, which is good for her to continue to grow in the job. So
nice. Yeah. What do you think the most important lesson you've learned in sales is? Like what do you capture that? And it's a big question. But
I always used to say this when I would hire people in Wisconsin. No matter what, you show up and you follow up.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say no, it just means it's not the right time.
Right.
So, and I always say this too, don't get drunk. So I am a firm believer that in this job, you have to, especially being on the road, and people will say like, oh, it's because, you know, you're smart because you're a woman, but it doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man, but you just...
Don't get sloppy.
So I'm very good at this job for those two reasons, is I don't get drunk, or I never drink too much. That's not my thing. And I show up and I follow up.
Cool.
And pre-plan. So, you know, those are all the things that you think that are like the easiest things to do, but so many people don't do them.
Yeah.
So I've already planned. I've planned dinners in November and December and January of next year already. I mean, it's just,
I guess that extends beyond like wine sales.
Like does that work in the medical field for you?
Show up and follow up. I can't attest to that. Yes, literally. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, like, be your own advocate. Follow up. Yeah. Like,
yes.
If you ever heard from someone, you think you want to hear from them or haven't heard from them, like, follow up. That's the only reason
people take things to heart sometimes. They're like, oh, they didn't respond or whatever. I'm like, well, you know how busy we all are. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, especially emails. Remember when
we're all human, we
like didn't talk on the phone, we moved to emails, and now everyone's like not dealing with emails, they're texting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, why are we not selling texting? Like, why are we not doing things texting? Like, I started texting all of my people now, and you just get more of a response because it's not really seen as being a private thing now. It's very casual. I mean, think about all the texts that you get from, like, I just got one from the National Park Service, like, buy our new hat. I'm like, oh, I love that hat. Oh my God. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, we all can text anybody and not feel weird about it.
Yes.
My only issue with texting is that I'm in such different time zones all the time. I have to be very aggressively focused on who I'm texting in my time, because sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I just texted from the UK and it's like people are sleeping at 2 a.m. and then there's the wife of the guy, like, why is this person texting at 2 a.m? And it's like hey, why didn't you order this yet? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God. Like, so I have to be very aware of
conscious
that. Yes.
I mean, I put in for just some information about a program and they've already texted me twice, called me twice, and I'm like, oh yeah, the texting is not a problem. Hi, this is blah blah blah. We saw your interest in this. Like, I'm available.
Wow.
Please call me. I'm like, oh wow, okay.
Yes.
You really want me.
Yes.
Or you want my money.
It's interesting though. But it is a new way. And actually, I think I'm going back to calling people now. So I think that's been this kind of, you know, circle.
Well, calls seem serious now. Like, oh, they want to talk
to me. The call's coming on.
Yeah, I know.
Do you have a fun log to close this out?
Yeah. Let's see. Here's, I don't know if this is funny, but this is it's kind of sad. It's kind of this is 10:50 in the morning. A local resident thought she was going to get a $200 refund regarding a computer virus, but it turned out to be a scam. Go figure. She bought gift cards at multiple stores and gave the scammers her bank account information. Oh no! Police took a report.
Well, I have a caller was looking for a family member's vehicle that had two dogs in it. The family member had been drinking and was now home. Police assisted.
I have a report of a suspicious man talking to himself and making weird hand gestures. He was near Oak and Adams. An officer contacted the man. He moved along.
Perfect. He's gone. St. Helena. What a special place we live in.
Special.
Special, special. Well, if we wanted to, first two things. If we want to follow what you are doing in Cotswold, where do we find that?
Well, we have an Instagram page.
Oh, we do? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Right.
Called Cotswold Wine Adventure.
Cool.
Oh, I love
at
it.
At Cotswold Wine Adventure. And then my, okay. my other personal one that I do a lot of the Staglin things on is at Vino Diva.
Okay.
So those nice. Are my two. And then I actually do the social media for Staglin Family Vineyard, which is not something that I like to say, but we weren't really doing a lot when I started 7 years ago, yeah. and I said, yeah, I'll take it over. And then COVID happened, and you know there was a lot of touchy subjects and things, and I said, I just should probably still take this over for a while. And now I'm like, can I get rid of this? So I have three, and actually Midas has his own page too, Midas in the Cotswolds. So I have four
Midas
Instagram
Midas in the Cotswolds,
pages.
That sounds like a fun
he's
band.
He's cute.
He's handsome.
He's a cutie. Band. Your page is very fun to follow because you go to national parks.
Yes.
You're big into the parks.
I love parks.
You get to go travel the world.
I do.
It's always something cool and entertaining and sometimes like educational too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I dig it. All right.
Cool.
Sometimes. And then for Staglin Wines, where would we find?
Yeah, so we're at staglinfamily.com.
Cool.
We're at Staglin Family on the Instagram and also on Facebook.
Nice.
If you have interest also in our charity, which I think is an important mm-hmm. part of who we are, is onemind.org. So our charity is called One Mind that focuses on brain and mental health research.
Cool. Well, perfect.
Cheers.
Amber, thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
And cheers to that. Well, I must say, Hillary, I wasn't expecting to have that much fun.
It was pretty great.
Amber's great. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I know.
The best advice, like, show up, check up, don't get drunk.
I know. Are you going to use that in your daily life now?
I'll do my best. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Enjoy your evening and be safe.